The following is a Poppy Chulo Radio original program.
Let's go!
Get up close and personal with some of your favorite male porn stars on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Created by Poppy Chulo, One-on-One showcases exclusive interviews with the adult industry's most popular male performers. Here's your host, Poppy Chulo.
Welcome to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Today is Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. Listeners, please welcome underground wrestler, adult content creator, and the self-proclaimed most polarizing figure in all of underground wrestling history, Nicholas the King Stone. Welcome to the show, King.
Thank you for having me. Hello, everyone.
It is wonderful to have you on. We've been chatting about this for a moment. I know that you have been wanting to get your story out there, so I appreciate you for reaching out, for being interested, and for being here now.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what this holds, what this brings.
Fantastic. Hopefully good things.
For sure. Always. Fingers crossed.
Absolutely. All right. So before we dive deep into the interview, I typically like to start off these one-on-one interviews by getting some unique stats out the way. So what's your height and weight?
My height is 6'3" and my weight, I haven't weighed myself in a while, but I would say approximately 95 kg, give or take.
What's your ethnic background?
Nigerian.
What's your zodiac sign?
Libra.
And how old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
All right, let's get to know a little bit about the man behind the performer. Who is Nicholas the King Stone?
Well, I'm not sure how to answer that, really. The man behind the myth, the persona, the socials, etc. Is that what you're asking?
You know, if someone is tuning in right now and they're like, who is this man? So who is Nicholas the King Stone?
Well, outside of the ring, I'm a very chill, very caring, very thoughtful person. I'm a very generous person when I want to be. I like to show that I care about people and I care about people's opinions behind the scenes, even though I, you know, try to hide it and whatnot, but I do care. But I just keep pushing forward. I try to be positive, but that definitely gets hard sometimes. But I keep doing my thing. I keep moving forward with my little island.
We're going to get deeper into all of that as the interview progresses. But before we get into all of that, where are you originally from?
I'm from Nigeria, but I was born in London, England.
All right. Yes, you mentioned Nigerian, but I wasn't sure if you were born there or if you were from the UK.
Yeah, no, my parents are from there. I've been there a couple times. But yeah, I was born here in London.
First generation.
Indeed.
Yeah, so let's talk about that. What was life like for you growing up?
Well, I am the last born. I've got four older brothers. I've got one older sister. From what I remember, there was a lot of fights, bickering between the siblings, and I was the sheltered one. I was the one that they were trying to protect me from the swearing and from the, you know, they used to say, you know, pardon my French and all this kind of stuff, and try to cover my ears from it all. And my mom sheltered me from the outside world. You know, I wasn't allowed to parties as, you know, a normal kid or whatever. I wasn't allowed to do a lot of normal things that a lot of, you know, quote unquote normal people do when they're a lot younger to discover more about the world and discover more about themselves, their sexuality, etc. But yeah, as I found my confidence, I found, you know, different kinks and different fetishes and whatnot, and everything just kind of coming together gradually.
Let's talk about your sexuality. You are openly bisexual. And I want to ask you about that because I feel like bisexuality, when it comes to, you know, just the LGBT, you know, period, you know, people seem to understand, you know, being gay. People seem to understand being lesbian. People over the past, you know, let's say decade or so are much more understanding of the trans community. But for whatever reason, the bisexual community, the bi community, there seems to be much more of a stigma towards them when people think of LGBT. You know, for a lot of people, I guess the common common joke that a lot of people make is, oh, but you're really gay, right? You know what I'm saying? So I want to get your take on that when you discovered that you were bisexual. And just, you know, let's talk about that. You know, when you first discovered it and your thoughts on the stigma that bi people get from both the straight community as well as the LGBT community.
So when I was a lot younger, probably before I was about 10, maybe a bit more than that as well, I used to wrestle with my friends, like on the grass, at home type thing. And when we were like play fighting, my dick used to get hard. And I used to think I was a freak. I didn't know what was going on. I was very confused. I tried to hide it. I got caught a couple times, ridiculed, etc. And yeah, as I got older, I started to discover that it's the physicality and the aggression and the acting and the performance and all of these things intertwined that really get me going. But I didn't understand that when I was younger. Lost my virginity at 21. It was not planned. I was working with a singer at my place. Family was all downstairs, and it just kind of happened. He kind of seduced me, ambushed me type thing, and next thing you know, I think I was bending him over my bed and just ramming his hole.
Hitting those high notes.
Yeah, definitely made him sing very, very quietly, of course.
All right now. And listeners, and that singer was Elton John. No, just kidding.
Indeed.
Yes, kidding. All right, let's not start rumors. Okay, so... Well, let's talk about your openness. You know, was it difficult to come out? Like, I can only imagine. I mean, I don't know much about tolerance in the UK in regards to bisexuality. You know, I can only go by what I've seen in, like, you know, Britcoms and dramas and that sort of thing. So I want to ask you, you know, since you're there, you know, was it difficult to come out? I would assume, being a man of color, you know, there might be a little bit of difficulty maybe there, you know, as a Latino in the Latinx community. You know, there seems to be, you know, a very, it's weird about communities of color. You know, I can only speak for Latinx, but, you know, in the Latinx community, you know, we can be very sexual people, but when it comes to sex, we can be very conservative. So I'm wondering if that's similar in the Nigerian community. You know, was it difficult to live in your truth, basically, is what I'm asking.
So not everyone in my family knows, but yeah, even just the other day, I told my oldest brother, who wasn't aware of anything that I do, that I'm into. He had the suspicions about the wrestling stuff, but he didn't know if I was gay or bi or straight or whatever, but he had his suspicions, and he asked me about it. He asked me a bunch of questions, and he was really cool about it. He's come a long way from the guy I used to know. He's much more understanding now, and we had a really great conversation about all the things that I do. My other family members know, a couple of them know, and some of them don't. So yeah, it was definitely nerve-wracking to actually like speak about it. I was very nervous to talk about that kind of thing with him because I didn't know how he'd react, but it just kind of flowed. You know, we had a heart-to-heart watching wrestling movie, The Iron Claw, that came out recently. I guess that was his plan to, like, you know, ask me a few questions and find out more about his suspicions, you know, put that to bed, and it worked. And yeah, it was great to have that time with him. So it was definitely a lot more understanding than I anticipated. I was worried about nothing really, but it all happened very naturally. And yeah, the rest of the family will find out one day, I guess.
It's nice to know that you were able to confide in him, and he was very open to the conversation and respectful about you and, you know, who you are as a person. I want to go back to the question that I asked before, because we got a little bit more into you personally and your bisexual journey, but I want to get your take on the stigma that bisexual people receive, especially bisexual men, for, you know, whatever reason. Maybe it's the patriarchy and that sort of thing. You know, when it comes to a bisexual woman, you know, people are very much more open and understanding to that. But when it comes to a bisexual man, there is a lot of stigma, you know, that just, you know, the general populace, but on top of that, just the LGBT community, you know, give on bisexual men. So I was just want to get your take on, have you experienced that? What are your thoughts on that? And, you know, how are you able to sort of, shake off some of the stigma and stereotypes of bisexual men, that are assumptions that people have of bisexual men, and then, you know, sort of live your truth?
Yeah, I think coming to like the Nigerian community ethics, I've been told that, you know, gays are stoned in the street and all sorts of stuff. And when I was in Nigeria, I was never, I never met any kind of openly gay people, never saw them, never spoke to them, whatever. There were never any about. And you'd never know because they keep that hidden. I think it might be against the law over there. So coming over to London, coming back to London, growing up, I didn't really know what I was. But nowadays, I definitely feel that kind of stigma with the general public. Gay people are very much accepted these days. It never was like that in the past. You know, everyone's really looking down on them. Straight people are mostly gay these days, or bi curious, or you know, in denial, etc. And bi people are just like there, and there's not really that much focus on the bi community, and there hasn't really been much support in ratio to the kind of followers I've got, you know, the numbers and stuff like that. I've never really felt like they add up, you know, and I've thought that's because of the content that I do and whatnot. It's very niche, as everyone says, and very unique, very particular, very individual. But I do a lot of things. I have a lot of kinks, and I could easily do, you know, what everyone else is doing, but I like to go against the grain, and I guess that intimidates people and scares people a lot of the time, and because they don't know how to take me, you know. And I guess that stigma is attached to the bi kind of stigma and the bi kind of agenda that's engraved in their minds. And my plan is just to do my thing, work really hard and change that, you know, hopefully open people's eyes and minds. I love open-minded people, so yeah.
Before we dive deep into the wrestling and the adult content of it all, let's talk about what was going on before you entered that arena. You were in a very different arena, as you alluded to in a previous answer. You were on the mainstream side of the entertainment industry. You were doing things with singing, this, that, or the other. So, and also, I do know that you have been on television before for singing. So can you talk to me a little bit about what you were doing, what was going on in your life prior to entering the wrestling arena in a big way?
So I'm a singer first and foremost, and I was singing for many years. Started in school, had my own little band, did a few pubs locally, whatever, a few shows, went solo type thing, grew the fan base over the years on different social media platforms. I found myself on The Voice UK for my 21st birthday. Literally on the day, it was insane, surreal. It was just an incredible experience. I've got some songs out there as well, had a few million views, and it's been a fun time. But you know what they say, all good things must come to an end. I can still sing. A few years ago, I did lose my voice. I was in hospital, hospitalized due to glandular fever. Came out of nowhere. I couldn't talk. There was basically like a hole in the top of my mouth. And I couldn't sing, of course, for many months. I thought I'd never be able to sing again, but I got that back. I rehabbed it back for as long as it took, and I can still sing. And my brother wants me to perform at his wedding in May. So preparing for that, that's going to be the first performance in a very long time. But yeah, in terms of TV, The Voice UK, got the chance off the back of that to perform in Russia. I was flown out there, everything paid for. When we got to the venue, with my security guard, he was like an escort from the airport and just took me everywhere. When we got to the building, my picture was on like all the different posters around the building and whatnot. And I got to perform with a big band, like Michael Bublé, like the black Michael Bublé. It was surreal. And that was really fun. First time in Russia. I think I was the only black guy in Russia. It was wild. Everyone's looking at me like, where the fuck did this guy come from? Yeah. And the last TV kind of appearance I did was in Egypt off the back of The Voice. People contacted me, paid me for an all expenses paid trip to Aswan, Egypt, where I got the absolute pleasure to perform for the president of Egypt on Egyptian television. Yeah, it was just mind-blowing. Staying in the same hotel as the president, you know, three-course meals, amazing hotel, you know, spa, gym, beautiful rooms, beautiful views. Insane, insane stuff. That we performed behind the hotel as well. There was like a whole stage, a whole kind of coliseum behind. It was just insane. One of the most insane things I've ever done. Yeah, that's like that. I think that concludes my TV experience. But all three really cool opportunities, and yeah, I've been very fortunate in that department. And I'm not sure what the future holds, but at least I still have my voice.
Wow, that's quite a journey. I will say this. I've been interviewing performers for, I guess, a little over 15 years now. And there is something about the UK and porn stars either appearing on reality TV before they were porn stars and then, you know, eventually becoming porn stars, or established porn stars going on reality TV. You know, it's fascinating. It's just the relationship. I mean, I know that the country is small compared to, like, let's say here in America and that sort of thing. So, you know, the fact that there are interesting opportunities like that is really interesting to me.
Yeah, they kind of came out of nowhere. The Voice, I've been trying for many years, and I finally got in. You know, I was scouted for that one at a couple bars. I used to do a lot of open mic jams with, you know, jazz bands and, you know, open mic bands and stuff like that. And a couple of scouts were in a couple bars, and they gave me a business card, like The Voice Series 4, Wants You, whatever. I thought it was in prank, it was some kind of cult or whatever. And everything just kind of, you know, each stage went by, and eventually I got onto the TV and then got to do my thing.
Very nice. Live life like a pop star. Very awesome. Yes. All right. So let's talk about the transition. So you were working in a very different side of the entertainment industry. You were on the mainstream side of the entertainment industry as a singer, as you mentioned, traveling the world because of that incredible experience on The Voice in the UK. But now you're in a very different industry. So you were dipping your toes in the music industry, but now you've dived deep into the adult industry in this very niche market. So how did that transition come about? I know that you referenced that you were into wrestling. So clearly that must have been on the back of your mind, because now it's at the forefront. So how did that transition happen? Because, you know, you were headed in one trajectory, and now clearly you're in a very different one.
Yeah. It started with wrestling, to be honest. I've been watching since I was a kid, like practicing, performing, you know, play fighting with my friends type things since I was a kid. And the opportunity kind of came out of nowhere. It might have been Facebook, where I was scouted for this company called Wrestle for a Fee. I worked with them for a few years. They did videos with their roster members. I was one of them. I don't remember seeing any other black guys on the roster when I was there. I didn't face any others from what I remember. I think I was the only one. And I was happy to be. I was honored. I was making money. And people were contacting me for private sessions. So Wrestle for a Fee is basically a directory, a site where clients would find you on the site. If they like what they see, you know, they contact you and then they book a session with you. And that's kind of where I started to discover a bit more about my sexuality and became more open-minded with people. Sometimes it was older men, sometimes it was younger guys, and sometimes it was around the same kind of age. And yeah, different experiences, different types of money, different types of people, some cool videos that are out there that will live forever in the internet. And yeah, it kind of just evolved into the adult industry, where I started doing more explicit stuff on camera. Started OnlyFans about 2 years ago, not on there anymore. Just joined Just for Fans, and I'm looking into different sites. And yeah, I've just been pushing myself on, you know, Twitter, aka X, and Instagram, and Facebook, and all that kind of stuff. And the main site that I use is Watch Fighters. That's where I post my movies that I edit myself most of the time. I direct it, I produce it. And yeah, we just try and create the hottest, most unique content there is, and hope that people gravitate towards it, support it, and enjoy it.
In total, how long have you been making adult content?
I would say probably about 2 years. Started in about December, I believe. I started the OnlyFans in about December, 2 years ago. So yeah, around that, 2 years and a bit of change, I believe. Yeah.
And let's talk about your performer name. How did you come up with your performer name?
So N is the first letter of my real name. So I was thinking, I can't use that name. So I want to use another name that sounds quite cool. And something was just telling me Stone. You can work off that with the branding and whatnot. And I have these intro outro vids that have been done for me that are stunning, that are working with the Stone thing. And I've got some customized gear that's worked with that as well. So I went with that. And the King thing, ever since I was younger, I've seen in, you know, TV shows and movies and whatnot, Black is king, and you know, black men are kings, and all these different things that people say out there and whatnot. And I've always felt like I've got some kind of royalty in me. I believe my dad was chief of my village in Nigeria, so technically, I am some kind of royalty. In that realm. And I kind of brought that into this. I didn't want to do the fully African thing, but I did start off as like African Warrior 007 on a site called Meat Fighters. That's where a lot of wrestlers and combatants and people that are into that combat sports, but with a gay twist and whatnot. That's where they all reside, a lot of them anyway. It's a big site for that. So I started off as that and then evolved from there. It's been a long road, but it's coming together gradually.
Definitely. And you're still here, and you have a fan base that is growing, a fan base that is incredibly supportive of you. So major props to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, I'm sure there are many of your fans that are listening to this interview. So everything that you've been saying and everything that you've been talking about in regards to what you're doing, the niche that you're in, I'm sure they completely understand what you're talking about. But for the listeners that might be tuning in, you know, let's say they've been a fan of my podcast and they were like, let me check this out. Or they've done some sort of Google search and this podcast randomly popped up. You know, they've heard me use the term underground wrestling now a couple of times, but let's say they've heard that term, they're hearing me say that term, but they have no idea what that actually means. So as someone who is in that arena, can you please explain to the listeners what that term means in your own terms?
So I'm going to start with professional wrestler and show you the difference. So basically, professional wrestler is what you see on TV. They also do independent shows, indie shows, as they call it. WWE, AEW, TNA, all these different promotions, that's professional wrestling. Underground wrestling is exactly that, underground. It's not on TV, but there are companies out there. Muscle Boys Wrestling, 88 Wrestling, Rock Hard Wrestling, UCW, I believe that's under new management now. FFE, which is a British company. The others were American. I believe, Weekend Wrestling, American Company. There's many companies out there, from the UK, from America, Switzerland, different places, different types of audiences, and different types of body types, and all that kind of stuff. I started in a company and now I'm independent, doing it all by myself, finding opponents, training opponents, finding people to film for me, to film with, just trying to put it all together. So that's the underground as an independent underground wrestler. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of rejection. It's a lot of ups and downs, but my passion is unmatched. I've always loved what I do. Sometimes it's hard to love what I do because it's very difficult to keep going and stay positive, but I've been fortunate enough to have the support system that I do have. I've always wished for more. I've always wanted more. I've never been a complacent guy. But I've been doing my best and I'll continue to do my best till the wheels fall off. And I just need more people, and I hope more people begin to trust me and support and to want to be a part of my ventures and my kingdom.
You referenced watchfighters.com. That is basically, as of right now, the main hub where a lot of your content is. As you referenced, you did recently start up a Just for Fans, but for the majority of your content, it is on watchfighters.com. So I want to get a little bit of a breakdown on what type of content the listeners can find from you on watchfighters.com.
So on my Watch Fighters, there's a plethora of content there, different types of content. There's something for, I believe, everyone. If you want the pro wrestling that's not erotic at all, that's there. Me and Adrian Rhymes, we've done some great pro wrestling stuff. I met him through my last job. He was my manager there, and he told me that he used to do wrestling training, pro wrestling training 10 years ago. He lost his passion. He fell out of love for it and whatever, didn't have a reason to carry on. So I come along, I'm working on the shift. He sees me, big black guy, through the uniform, whatever. And he's like, this guy must go gym. I wonder what he does. So he asks me. He's like, what sport do you play? I'm like, table tennis. That was the first answer I gave him because I didn't want to get into the whole wrestling thing with a stranger. Just, yeah, this is the kind of person I am. I don't really say it outright straight away, especially at the job on my, one of my first days, might be my first day as well. So I was quite nervous about opening up about that. And it turns out that we had that in common. And weeks go by, we're talking about wrestling, and slowly but surely, I'm reigniting that passion that was just dormant in him. I told him about the ring in London. We went there and we created some amazing videos. So they're there. He's really agile, really talented. He does gymnastics. I love people like that. They have many strings to their bow. So stuff with him, stuff of Beastie Boy, who is a straight guy that's done a lot of gay things, especially recently. He's come a long way. Met him maybe about a year and a bit ago, maybe more. We've done so many videos together. They're all there on mine and his channel. Everyone loves him. He's a muscle stud, twink kind of guy. Nice abs, lovely muscle. He can pick me up, which is always fun. Not many people have the guts to pick me up and slam me. So, yeah, after I taught him how to do that properly, he's been doing it ever since, and it's been good fun. So stuff with him, we've done a lot of erotic stuff. My first match with him was, well, the end is like, well, let's just say one of us comes. Yeah, and I believe we're both naked. Yeah, we've had a lot of matches together. Got some stuff with other guys as well. Wrestle for top type things. There's Job of Destruction 2, 1 and 2. So 1 is the first part, which is mostly wrestling. I believe I might have stripped him in 1 or 2. Might have been 2. 2 is where I fuck him. So a jobber is essentially a ragdoll. Someone like a punching bag, like a sub. Someone that is just there to be destroyed, to be worked over, as they say. And yeah, I've got many videos of many different people. So from normal pro wrestling, just straight pro, to full-on sex. And I was watching one earlier called Fight for the Crown with this American. The first Fight for the Crown I did, I believe, with this American guy at his apartment. Just met him on Grindr, and I get to his place and we were talking, drinking a little bit. And yeah, prior to that, I told him I'm into wrestling and I do this, do that. And we got into it and we had an awesome time, an awesome match. Yeah, there's some really hot stuff on that page. I'm not just saying that. When I can watch it, get hard and come to it, that's when I know that I've done my job correctly. And I know a lot of people are going to love that content when they see it. So I'd say just check it out. There's so much there and there's so much more to come for sure.
Let's talk about how you craft a scene, because you do different types of scenes within this world of wrestling, as you just referenced. You do softcore stuff, you do hardcore stuff, you do what I'm going to dub non-core, you know, in the sense, you know, because it's not softcore, it's not hardcore, it's just wrestling, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So yeah. What goes into crafting these scenes? Because as you reference, you are, you know, the director, the producer, you're shooting this content, you're editing it, you are the one that's submitting it to this site, and now, you know, via the various subscription-based sites that you are also involving yourself with. So what goes into, like, crafting a scene? You know, what goes into it? Are you creating the costuming? Is there any choreography involved? Is it much more spontaneous? Or, you know, are there elements of rehearsal? You know, do you have to practice any of the stunts, any of the tricks? What goes into creating one of your scenes?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So a lot of the time it's rehearsals, but first training. I need to show people the basics for safety, to make sure that they are comfortable with things, that they know what they're doing, they don't land the wrong way and injure themselves and all that kind of stuff. So that's what I do. I kind of get into that side of things for a few minutes. And then we get into the filming side of things. Before we even meet, I usually talk to people about what we're going to be doing, the kind of moves that I like, the kind of things that I like, the things that turn me on if we're doing that side of things. And I get that from the other person as well. I like to ask, well, what turns you on? What do you like? All that kind of stuff. Because I want them to enjoy it as well. Now, if it's a straight guy that I'm meeting or whatever, and he's, you know, a bit unsure about it and whatever, I'm just like, you know, we do what you're comfortable with. I've met a few straight guys and things have ran smoothly. Some straight guys are more open-minded than others, as you guys know, but yeah, it's a lot of fun regardless. You know, I enjoy the wrestling. It doesn't have to be with the erotic and sexual element, but it's always a bonus. It's always nice to have that side of things. So after the training is done, the rehearsing, you know, we go through different moves and whatever. Then we get into the filming of it. And even with the cameraman, I've communicated with them beforehand on what I would like, you know, the angles, the things to focus on. And even while we're filming, sometimes I'm directing with my hands, you know, and stuff like that. And even with my speech, I say things like, get a closer look of this and stuff like that. And they know what that means. So it's performing, directing, producing, and preparing the performers all in one. I recently did a meet in Surrey with a bunch of lads that have never done wrestling before, different sizes, four guys I've never met before. I've wanted to meet them, and it just happened. It was a meet put together by one of them, and I got to coach them. Unfortunately, I didn't get to film anything erotic or anything I wanted to film. I brought all this gear and whatnot, but I couldn't perform because I didn't have my ID sorted at the time. So we skipped that, but I did coach them. I did show them some stuff. I did get some footage of me coaching them and whatnot, and that's there to be posted. But yeah, sometimes I like to just coach and train, and then we go from there. I get paid for that, and I do that with other content creators and performers and subs and horny, you know, kinky fuckers that just are curious about what I do and curious about how it feels to be dominated and, you know, destroyed by the king. So it's different things. It's at the end of the day, it's communication. It's very key. And great communication saves lives and it makes things a lot more fun. You know, everyone's in the know of what's going on and yeah, it all runs smoothly.
How did you connect with watchfighters.com? How did you make the connection with the site, and why did you choose that location to sort of be, you know, at the time, like the main hub of your content?
I believe it came from Meat Fighters, because they're linked. Meat Fighters, Watch Fighters, as you can imagine, two very similar sites. Meat Fighters is for the, you know, meetings and the chats and the communication side of things. Watch Fighters is for the content, for the streaming, for the selling, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I came about it through Meat Fighters. I believe the admins were announcing that they've got a new site. And I was like, let me check it out. And I did. And I've loved it ever since. It's definitely been the one that's been the most accepting and supportive.
As a bisexual man in this very niche industry, you have yet to star in a scene with a female performer. Is that something you plan on changing in the future? Would you love to shoot a wrestling scene with a woman?
Yeah, definitely. It's on my bucket list for 2024. I've wanted to do this for a while, but it hasn't really happened. I don't know why. I'm out there, I'm friendly, I'm tested, I'm this, I'm that. But again, people can get very intimidated by what I do. You know, the content that I put out there, the pain they seem to be in, but it's mostly just acting, and whatnot. And you know, I wouldn't blame most girls for being too intimidated to try that or even approach me. So yeah, but I definitely do want to get into that. I've always been into that. I often watch like mixed wrestling porn, in fact, where guys are squashing girls or girls on girls. Yeah, it's really hot, especially the Japanese stuff. Like, not gonna lie, amazing, amazing performers. Very, very hot stuff, very erotic, ends in, you know, full sex type thing. It's great stuff. So I'd definitely be up for that if any are interested. Yeah, just hit me up. I'm there. My DMs are always open. Yeah, and I always reply.
Something else that you have yet to do is to work with any of the established porn studios or porn websites. Is that something you plan on changing? Would you like to work with some of the major studios, or are you content in doing your own thing, you know, being in control and in charge of your image by filming your own content?
I've always felt like I would be an asset to any company, any studio, any establishment that decides to take me on, that decides to see my value and respect my star power and ideas and image and, you know, hard work and whatnot, and my unique shape and size and all that kind of stuff. I'd definitely love to. I've always wanted to work with Dream Boy. A bondage company. I think it's Dream Boy. Boynapped. That's the one. Boynapped. So a lot of twinks are tied up and restrained and gut punched and ball busted and stretched and fucked and all kinds of stuff. It's incredible stuff. I've always wanted to work with them. Always wanted to work with Straight Hell, Breeder Fuckers. That's like some big fantasies of mine. The waterboarding, the CNC performance. I've got so many kinks, and I've definitely been a fan of those two studios and many more, all the wrestling companies I mentioned earlier. I've definitely been wanting to perform in any of these for a long time, especially as a dominator, a dom top that gets the job done. I don't see many black people in these companies, in these establishments. So I think it's high time that we diversify and show people what the king is made of.
As you just mentioned, the king is a dom top. Would you ever, you know, I'm going there because I'm sure someone out there is curious, would the king ever submit? Would the king ever bottom?
Interesting. All I can say is never say never.
Well, there you go, listeners. You heard it here. Now, as far as questions that I'm sure the listeners might have about you, this might be another one. How much is the king packing?
I haven't actually measured my schlong, my royal staff, really, before. But I believe I'm 8 inches or just under. Yeah.
Throughout the time that you've been creating content, whether it's adult-oriented content, erotic content, or softcore, or even non-erotic content, who have been some of your most favorite performers to work with? Who stands out in your mind as like, wow, that was a really good scene?
The one I've done the most with is Beastie Boy. We've had our ups and downs. We're very different in personalities. but he's definitely been the most successful student I've had so far. He's doing great things. He's worked for Muscle Boys Wrestling, worked for some other companies I mentioned earlier, and he's done the things that I would love to do, but I just don't have the body type that they're looking for, which hurts, but it's the industry. It is what it is, and just have to keep it moving. So Beastie Boy has definitely been a highlight. I think a lot of fans of both of ours have loved our content and, you know, were really shocked at what we've done and were really impressed with the chemistry we've had. There's been others as well. Off the top of my head, I can't really remember that many, but it's all on Watchfires. It's all there. I've met so many people over the years, and now I'm just putting together this content that I've been sitting on for, you know, God knows how long, and I'm still making new content, trying to create space and whatever. But I'm always looking for more. Like I said, I'm never complacent. I always want to know what the next thing is. But yeah, Beastie Boy, Little D, another straight guy, LIL D. Very, very talented young lad. Similar size to Beastie Boy, muscle stud, you know, abs. Yeah, you gotta love it. He's probably the nicest guy I've ever worked with. He's just full of sunshine and realness and joy and energy. And when we were out there, walking back from the venue and whatnot to the station, blah, 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 getting food, you know, people are gravitating towards him. You know, I used to have that kind of youthful vibrance that he has. But I lost that a while ago, just with the way the world is, the cruelty of the world. But I try my best to stay positive, and being around people like that was definitely a revelation, and it was a lot of fun. And it was cool. We're very different at different points in our lives, but he's a very, very cool ball of sunshine, very hot, straight guy. And I'm looking forward to seeing him and many others that I've met again, for sure.
I feel like everyone nowadays talks about the power of manifestation, you know, having the universe, you know, answer your question and that sort of thing. So let's use the power of manifestation to your advantage right now. Who have you not done a scene with? Who have you not shot with that you would love to do a scene with? Who is on the King's wish list?
It will probably never happen, but There's so many. Jordan James is probably top five for me. My fans have been tagging me on his stuff, like, hit this guy up, hit the King up. We want to see it. We need to see it. I've been hitting him up and whatever. No responses, just likes on the tweets and whatever, which annoys the fuck out of me, because you could easily just DM as well. But Jordan James definitely up there. Peachy Boy. I was just chatting to him on Facebook earlier. I don't know how we got connected, but it happened. And he was at, you know, a fashion show in Paris the other day and whatever. He might still be out there. He's a big deal. There's so many. Felix Fox, Brendan Byers. Brendan Byers is a wrestler, an underground wrestler, just like Gabe Steele, who I met last year. And that video, our first part of our first ever match after 5 years of bickering and back and forth and this feud we've been building from America to London, he finally flew over, and we had this incredible unscripted violent war. I've named it unscripted violence because that's exactly what it was. We just kind of went in there. I called him out on social media and he took the bait and he flew over and we did it. We finally got something done. We got it done together and it was carnage. Those people, a lot more people in the wrestling industry, if they ever wanted to do anything, there's so many. Aiden Langston, definitely up there. Brody Fox, Monster Mike, Luke Truong, I believe is his name. So many like bottoms, you know, gay guys, straight guys, Scrappy, that have done like different scenes or whatever in the wrestling companies. Ethan Andrews. The list can go on for the longest time. But there's so many content creators in the UK and around the world that I would love to work with. And if you're a content creator in the UK, I'm here, especially in London. I'm here. If you can travel, I'm here. Hit me up. Nicholas Stone. I'm here. Yeah.
Because you're in an incredibly niche market in the industry, in the adult industry, I'm curious to ask you, how difficult is it to find performers or wrestlers to collaborate with?
Yeah, it's definitely a struggle because, like I said earlier, like people are very scared of the unknown. People are very scared of something they don't understand because they've never done it before, or they've done it with one person or a few people, they didn't like it. But what they did with that person is not necessarily what we're going to do because I'm different to them and I do things differently to people. I don't like to conform and do things the same as everyone else. And that's probably why my trajectory isn't as fast. It's not as rapid as a lot of other performers and content creators and whatnot. It's a very slow burn, a very slow build with the followers, the metrics and all that kind of stuff. But we're still pushing. We're still going. So it's just the nervousness, the intimidation factor. But I do reach out to some people. Whenever I find someone good looking, hot, I try my best to message. Sometimes I'm like, is there really a point? Are they going to reply? Are they going to see it? All that kind of stuff. But I do it anyway sometimes. And yeah, sometimes it's a reply like, not my thing, not interested, or it's no reply. So it's up and down. I'd love for more people to be encouraged to think about it this way. You might not like it now, but if I could tell you and show you the amount of people that have loved the session that we've had more than they ever anticipated they would, you might change your mind. You know, you never know how you're going to feel until you do it. And I think with that erotic element and that sexual element a part of it, if that's your thing, then yeah, the possibilities are truly endless, but you just have to open your mind to that and get in touch.
And on top of that, more specifically, how difficult is it to find Black men to co-star in productions with you?
Now, this is something I feel very strongly about because there's a real shortage of people of color in the industry, underground wrestling specifically. I feel like I'm the biggest one that's like doing it on the scale that I'm doing it at and the level that I'm doing it at independently. I haven't really seen anyone else do this to the level that I'm doing it that's Black, especially from the UK. and I'm always looking for new people to work with, new people to train, to film with, to bring into the wrestling scene. But there's a real fear and a real fear of judgment, fear of scrutiny. It's many different things that people have responded to me with, you know, because they don't get it. They see the stuff on my page and they're like, damn, that must hurt, not for me, you know, that type of thing. And that can be hard to to deal with. Like, I'm not good with rejection and being told no and things like that. But I do my best to keep it moving. It's all part of growing up. And yeah, I guess that's one of my toxic traits. But I'd love to bring more Black people into the scene and show them that it's not as bad as they anticipated, and no one's going to break their neck, and, you know, no one's going to break their limbs or whatever. It's really just all in their head. It's a very psychological fear, psychological thing that people, not just Black people, but people in general, need to just push to the side and, you know, hurdle, because it's worth it if you give it a try. That's what I would say.
Are there any misconceptions or myths about the content that you shoot or the arena that you're in that you would like to dispel?
Misconceptions. Well, people think everything is as it seems, but at the end of the day, we're performers. Some people have never done it before, but they're still capable of acting. And before we go through the filming process, I teach them how to act, essentially, really quickly, with facial expressions, with volume, with body language, all that kind of stuff. I make sure that they are up to par enough to be on camera. Some people take to it quicker than others, in terms of learning the moves, learning the skills, learning how to take it, learning how to sell it. Selling equals acting, by the way. And others, you know, it takes them a little bit of time, and I work with them and we work through it. And then we create something special, you know? I do my absolute best every time I step into the ring or a bedroom or wherever we're filming to make the other person look great. I want to make sure that it's not just a one-way street. Even if they're being dominated or, you know, whatever, it's a two-way street. Without the other person, it's not as good, you know? So I try to make sure that we're both getting something out of it. Yeah.
Is there an aspect of the industry that you're in that you do not enjoy?
I would say the negative stuff that comes with the industry, you know, the time wasting, the rejections, all of that kind of stuff. You know, I've always wanted someone there to do the admin for me, so I don't have to deal with all that kind of stuff. I just want to create and make sure that people are entertained and everything runs smoothly and whatnot. And then the admin side of things, the liaising side of things, can be done by someone very competent, very capable. That is the dream. I've always wanted some kind of manager, especially for the last few years, because it's been tough. I've been doing it on my own. It's a lot of work, but more importantly, it's a lot of scrutiny, a lot of backlash, especially being a heel, quote unquote, a bad guy in the wrestling industry. It's one of those things where I wish I toned it down when I was a little younger, because I'm facing the backlash of that now. But I enjoyed being that bad guy a lot of the time when I was younger, and now it's more like I'm a tweener, which is in between good and bad. So yeah, I wish I had someone to just be there and help with the day-to-day stuff. But yeah, that's, to some, that's a pipe dream.
As a Black man in the adult entertainment industry, as well as in the underground wrestling arena, have you ever experienced any racism, colorism, discrimination, or microaggressions?
Yeah. so many times. Even just the other day, I got a message, you know, from someone saying something about, you know, your ancestors would be ashamed of you or some shit like that. Yeah, I was like, you're selling counterfeit money on Instagram. Are your parents proud of you? Like, are your ancestors proud of you? Like, it's wild. I literally looked at their profile and they were selling money. I was like, what? That's a criminal offense, I believe. That's crazy. Yeah, there's many different types of things I've had over the years, different messages, different types of comments, death threats, all kinds of stuff, discrimination, prejudice, even in the wrestling community. I felt like I don't belong for a very long time. But I keep pushing because this is all I know how to do, just persevere. I've always been one that doesn't give up easily, and I very rarely give up on anything. I'm a very passionate and focused person. When I want something, when I see something, when I can envision the goal right in front of me, I keep going until the wheels fall off, you know? So that's what I'm gonna keep doing, no matter what kind of scrutiny or prejudice or discrimination people want to throw at me. I know what I'm capable of. I know that the sessions are great and fun, and the proof is out there. Even in my pinned tweet, there's a picture from like some of the best pics of like last year, the people that I met and whatever. I've kept that there so people realize, end of the day, it's all smiles. Like, we're good, you know, we're not actually killing each other and whatnot. It's safe. We're human beings at the end of the day, and people forget that. With myself especially, they think I'm a machine, a monster. They forget that I've actually got a heart, you know, and a brain, and, you know, all kinds of things that you other humans have. So yeah, but it comes with the territory, you know. I'm not just a character, I'm not just a persona, I'm a person too. And I guess it's important to remember that.
And in relation to, you know, this last question, as a Black man in this very niche industry in the UK, what kind of struggles have you had to deal with that you've noticed, you know, your non-Black counterparts haven't had to deal with?
Struggles. Well, in terms of getting noticed and supported and booked by different types of companies, I don't see any other Black people from the UK doing what I do. One, two, if they were, they're not getting booked by these companies. I don't see that. Bigger, stronger, more musclier than me. I don't really see that often. It's a lot of the time white guys with the abs, you know, or bodybuilders or stuff like that. And I'm just doing my thing. I'm just trying to stay positive and keep it moving, keep it trucking. But I wish that these establishments would pay more attention to someone like myself that's been doing this at a very high level and entertaining at a very high level. And I know for a fact I can bring eyes, ears, coins to any establishment that would choose to work with myself. But, you know, you can only say so much. It's up to them to believe it and put their money where their mouth is, you know, but I can't force anyone to do that.
You're right about that, but my hope is, as someone who, in essence, really is a pioneer in the industry that they're in, you know, you being in this sort of like very niche market and in this underground wrestling arena, doing, you know, this very niche adult content as well as softcore content and non-adult content at all, being a pioneer in that, you know, hopefully, you know, there are other people out there that have the same aspirations. They get inspired by you, and maybe even you can take them under your wing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have been doing that with the coaching. So my hope is that as your visibility continues to grow, it'll show other people that look just like you that, you know, they can make it, especially if they have the same passion and desire that you do.
100%. It's very hard to find anyone with the kind of passion that I have. You know, I'm so passionate that some people get turned off because I'm too passionate to them. I didn't know that was a thing, but, you know, it is what it is. But I love what I do, and I take pride in what I do. And, you know, to be shunned for that and, you know, exiled and treated differently for that is it's crazy to me, you know, but I'm going to keep it moving, and hopefully more people get inspired and motivated to jump along on the royal train for the ride.
We got a little deep with these last couple of questions, so let's lighten things up, especially as we start wrapping things up. So I have this list of pop culture oriented questions that are designed to allow the listeners and your fans to get to know some of your favorites. The first question in this set is, what are five of your most favorite television shows?
Well, I'm watching Halo at the moment. The Walking Dead, the new one that just came out, Rick and Michonne. I just watched the first episode. Good shit. What else have I watched? I've watched Star. I just finished Star, a show called Star about this girl called Star who's a singer, songwriter. She's incredible. She goes through so much stuff. A really, really great show. A lot of drama, very much soap opera, but a lot of great singing, a lot of great music. Very much like Empire. Empire crosses over a couple times as well. A couple people from Empire cross over. great stuff. Last two, what else am I watching? American Idol. I just watched the third episode of this season. It's decent. It's shaping up. There's a couple British people on there. Got my eye on. One from X Factor UK. All those years ago, about 6 years ago. She's going to kill it, I think. She's going to maybe top 10. Scarlett Lee. The fifth show. I'm not sure. What else am I watching? So I just started watching House of Ninjas. It's a strange one. It's like a little bit of comedy, a lot of blood, a lot of action. I believe it's one of those Korean shows. I'm watching in English. My little cousin hates me that I watch in English. It's very unnatural how they sound, but I don't like to read subtitles. That's long. I like to listen to in English. So those are like the five right now that I can think of. There might be another one that I'm forgetting, but yeah, those are the five I'm watching right now.
who are four of your all-time favorite music artists?
John Legend. I listened to a lot of Usher when I was younger. My brother was a singer, and he got me into Usher here and in Nigeria. Yeba, probably. Yeah, Yeba is incredible. Her voice is just, if you don't know, you need to get to know, because she is something else. The last one, the first name that came to my head was Tori Kelly, but she's great. She's phenomenal, just like Yeba. But I know that there's someone else as well. I've really been a fan of Bieber for the longest time, actually, for a very long time. He's got some great stuff, great songwriting, great vocals. I've watched him since the beginning, since he was scouted by Usher and whatnot. So I would say those five. You told me four, but those five for now, yeah.
What are three of your most favorite films?
Most favorite films? Oh, damn. That's a great question. I don't know which ones to pick. For some reason, Die Hard came to my head. One of them. Home Alone is definitely up there. What else? I saw a movie earlier called Code 8. It's number one on Netflix at the moment in the UK, I believe. Code 8 Part 2. It's okay. It's nothing special, but it was good. If I can think of another one. There's one called Operation Fortune or something like that on Amazon Prime. Jason Statham's in it. That was one of my favorites. Like modern movies at the moment, that's a great movie. So funny. So well done. Yeah, really, really great stuff. Great action. Really good movie. There's so many. Mission Impossible, the last one as well. I could go on forever. Yeah, cool movies.
What are two foods you can't live without?
I would say I really love pasta, to be honest. I love pasta and pizza. Those are like the main ones for me. Maybe Chinese food. Yeah, Chinese food and pizza, I think. Those would be difficult to live without, because every now and again I'm just craving, and when I'm craving, it's hard to, you know, quench my desire without getting on Uber Eats and, you know, giving in to the devil.
And what is one of your guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasures. I don't know. Guilty pleasures. I'm not sure. I can't think of anything really. In terms of like things that people might be shocked that I watch or something. I don't know, junk food in general, really. I eat quite a bit of junk food. That's definitely something I feel guilty for when I eat it, because I see everyone looking like $1 million and whatever, and I'm like, here's me with my belly, love me. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
What are you currently binging? Are you currently binge watching anything on any of the streaming platforms?
Yeah, so I'm trying to binge American Idol online. The Walking Dead new show. In my mind, that's pretty much it. trying to watch Halo as well. Yeah, the top five that I was talking about, trying to watch that House of Ninjas, just finished Avatar. Yeah, what are you watching?
Not really binging any. Well, I guess The Traitors, the US version.
I haven't heard of this.
Oh, you need to watch The Traitors, the UK version.
Okay, well, Traitors.
Traitors, yes.
Okay.
It's, I don't know if you're into reality competitions, but it's a very well done competition. Here in the US, the US version is like the number one reality competition on a streaming site right now.
Okay.
But all of the international ones are very good too. The UK one is really good. The Aussie one is really good.
Okay.
Yeah. The UK one, actually, the second series just wrapped a couple weeks ago.
Okay. I'm the type to start from the first series for sure.
Yeah. Tell me something quirky about yourself that most people don't know. Something unique about the king.
Quirky and unique. I don't know why this came to my mind, but when I was younger, it took a long time for me to stop wetting the bed. I'm not completely sure why, but yeah, that's one thing that happened when I was a lot younger, and I grew out of it, of course. And in terms of now, I can be very goofy, very immature at times, especially when I'm like watching something or listening to music, at home, dancing around on my own, hoovering, aka vacuuming for you Americans and foreigners, etc. Yeah, I dance like nobody's watching is what they say, right? So that's what I do, popping and locking, you know, break dancing and whatnot. Yeah, I'm a true professional. But yeah, that's pretty much the stuff that I do when nobody's watching. When I'm watching comedies, cackling like a hyena, you know, and I'm always studying things. When I'm watching TV shows and even studying wrestling, when I'm watching, I'm dissecting it, how they're doing what they're doing, where they're putting their arms, their legs, etc. and whatnot. When I'm watching anything, I'm looking at the finer details, you know? But I'm also enjoying it at the same time. It's a healthy balance.
Describe yourself in 10 words or less.
This is a big one. Genuine. Authentic. Proud. Underrated, underappreciated, chilled, sometimes energetic, yeah, and I don't know how many words that is, but I might have one more. And kind-hearted, yeah.
What's next for Nicholas the King Stone? What should listeners and your fans be expecting from you in the near future? What should they be on the lookout for?
Everyone should be on the lookout for everything that I've been doing, but a few levels up. More porn stars, more content creators, more hot content. I want to push the boundaries. I want to do more dungeon stuff. I want to work with more studios, more porn. I want to do porn. Try it, you know. I want to travel to different parts of the world. I want to be able to meet different people in different parts of the world. Big content creators, small content creators, fat, skinny, muscled, average, athletic. I don't really discriminate. I've got a big thing for gingers. I've got a big thing for Asian boys as well, especially with abs that I can punish and work over and worship. I don't mind a little bit of muscle worship before or after or during the moment of destruction and whatnot. So I want to do more content with great people, all about chemistry for me, all about sense of humor, and all about that open-mindedness. So many people are so quick to shut me and anyone else down or just ignore. It doesn't take much to be like, let's just try it and see what happens, you know? A message to everyone, like, do not be judgmental to people that are trying to work with you, especially with our conversation, with a real conversation, like on the phone or in person or whatever. You shouldn't be too quick to judge people. Try new things. Come out your comfort zone for a second. Come out your bubble. I know it's comfortable, but once you come out of your comfort zone, you never know how you're going to feel. You might love how you feel. You might love what's taking place, what's going on. You just have to take that leap of faith. That's what they call a leap of faith. And in my line of work, yeah, that can definitely apply. Leaping and having faith in your partner, your teacher, your opponent, and just having fun with it. You know, I think it's really great when I see the excitement and joy on people's faces when they didn't expect to love what we're doing as much. So, yeah, I definitely get a kick out of that for sure.
How can your fans reach you? Where can they find you on the web, social media, as well as where they can find your original content? It's time for you to hook them up with all of your important links.
Well, my links are in every page I've got, really. On my social medias, at Nicholas Stone X, you will see the link in my bio, and that link has countless other links where you can find all my content, from watch fighters to meet fighters to Instagram to Facebook to YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel as well. Started using it this year. Got some cool stuff on there. Some new stuff coming. There's just a bunch of links there. Follow, subscribe. You know, that's how you join the kingdom. And when you do, you'll realize what you've been missing all this time has been me and what I bring to the table.
Well, this does bring us to the end of our interview. Is there anything that you would like to say to your fans and supporters that are tuning in?
I'd just like to say thank you for believing in me, for having my back, for giving me an opportunity to express myself and entertain you guys and to show you that this is something that I love more than almost anything in the world. And I'm going to keep doing it until the wheels fall off, until I can't do it anymore. The pains in my body that come every now and again, it's all worth it because of the support that you show me, the love that you show me. And with everything that I've been through, it means more than you know. And to you, Papi Chulo, thank you for the platform, for this amazing interview. I believe it's like my first proper interview ever, especially one that's going to be out on all the major platforms and whatnot. So yeah, I've never really talked about all this stuff before. So it's very cool to be able to express myself and tell a fraction of my story. And yeah, it's been awesome, and I hope that everyone listening has enjoyed it and they haven't been bored to death and whatever. I've just been honest, and I hope that many of you are inspired to open your minds, try new things, and have fun doing it.
I love the sound of that. And first of all, to respond to you, you're welcome. And also thank you, Nicholas the King Stone. Thank you for this fantastic interview, as well as for allowing me, my platform, my podcast, to be basically the home for your first ever full-length, in-depth interview. I really appreciate it.
No problem. It's cool how we can come together at different sides of the world, different sides of the underworld, and just have a good time talking. I appreciate you for listening, be a great interviewer, and just being a great host. It was really cool. I appreciate it for sure.
Thank you. That's incredibly kind of you to say. And the door's open for more. Whenever you want to come back to update the listeners on what you've been up to, you have an open invitation, my friend.
Awesome. Awesome.
And listeners, I also want to thank you for tuning into One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Before we go, here's our announcer to remind you on how you can interact with us.
Thank you for downloading One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. Here are a few helpful reminders. For more information on One-on-One with Poppy Chulo, visit poppychuloradio.com/afterdark. Follow Poppy Chulo on Twitter at twitter.com/poppychulo1on1. That's at Poppy Chulo. The number one. The word on. And the number one. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/poppychuloradio. Do you have any questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns? Email us via contact@poppychuloradio.com. Are you interested in joining the Poppy Chulo Radio team as an on-air personality? Email talent@poppychuloradio.com. Binge listen to your favorite Poppy Chulo Radio programs by visiting poppychuloradio.com/archives. Back to you, Poppy Chulo.
Thanks, announcer. And with that, Nicholas the King Stone and I would like to wish you and yours a wonderful night. Good night, listeners.
Good night, everyone. Much love. And remember, long live the king. Let's go.
Thanks for listening to One-on-One with Poppy Chulo. To contact us with any of your questions, suggestions, comments, or concerns, email us at contact@poppychuloradio.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter by going to twitter.com/poppychuloradio. And like us on Facebook by visiting facebook.com/poppychuloradio. Be sure to listen again next week as we continue to showcase exclusive interviews with some of the adult industry's most popular male performers. This is Ben Patrick Johnson saying good night and have a wonderful week.